The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, have you heard of this term, hidden hunger? Well, in simple terms, it's when we're eating plenty of food, but we're not getting the nutrients that our bodies need. Some experts warn that ultra-processed foods are a major culprit in this regard. For more on this, I'm joined by Dr. Amalia Scannell, who's a microbiologist at the UCD Institute of Food and Health. You're very welcome to the show, Amalia. So we're eating a lot, but we're not getting what we need. Is that right?
Not all of us, but a large number of us in the population, that would be true. And this has been going on for quite some time. So back into the 2009, so the start of this whole century situation, a guy in Brazil called Carlos Monteiro noticed that in Brazil, hunger was going down, but diabetes was going up. And he was trying to work out what the hell was going on with that, and ultimately discovered that a lot of people were eating a lot of food, but not a lot of nourishment. And he grouped the foods into four different categories. So you have the unprocessed food, so you know your meat and two veg kind of dinners. Then your processed ingredients, so oils and butters, so things where we have natural foods that we do something to so it will work for us in a product or last longer. And then you have the processed foods like breads and things. And finally, the last group, which is the ultra-processed foods. And these are trickier ones because they're very tasty. So they're full of sugar and they're full of salt. And they're very, I don't want to use the word addictive, but, you know, we all really love these things like crisps, things like pizzas, ready meals. They're full of flavor. And what they're not full of is, a lot of the time, whole ingredients. So you have extraction ingredients. So you'll have modified starches, chemicals, emulsifiers, and things like that added in. And they're all, nothing wrong with them. They're all good ingredients, but they're in there because food itself has to perform in a way that whole foods don't. So it has to last a long time. It might need to be reconstituted or rehydrated. It might need to be frozen and, like, for the doughs and come back out. So they need things that if you're making fresh, they don't need. And that's a kind of a conundrum, because now we have food that lasts a long time and satisfies our hunger, but a lot of people are now ending up with a lot of micronutrient deficiency as a consequence. So we're not getting enough of our vitamins, enough of our minerals, and more increasingly too, fibre is a big problem as well.
Yeah, so with those foods that you described, the very processed foods, our bodies don't have to work very hard, do they, to either ingest or digest those foods? And is that a problem as well?
Well, the digestion part, look, your body knows how to digest foods and it'll digest any of the foods. The real problem is what's happening when you digest it. So you're digesting it down to the brass tacks components very quickly. So your starch will digest down to sugars, your protein will digest down to amino acids, and they'll happen high up in your gut. So there's not a lot of things left to feed the microbiome in your hindgut that is really responsible for such a large proportion of our health, messaging to the brain, messaging to our immune system. So things like fiber go down there and feed those bacteria. Those bacteria then can interact with your body in a way that with the high processed foods, it doesn't happen in that way. And it's really tricky for people because we see a lot of people with things like anemia because all of these have very, very little iron in them because the amount of red meat and stuff that's in these processed foods is very small because they want profit margins. So if you have a meat pizza, I'm using pizza just because it's a very obvious high processed food, the real good quality proteins aren't in it. And you're getting reductions. And things like vitamin B12 and minerals, all of those tend to be very low because they're stripped out during the processing situation.
And we here in Ireland, we're eating an awful lot of this very processed food, aren't we? I mean, if we compare it to the European average, Amalia, we're eating almost double what our counterparts are in the EU.
That's exactly right. And we're one of the top three countries in Europe in terms of how much we purchase, and about over 50% of our calories are coming from those ultra processed foods. So we're getting a lot. Our supermarket basket is shifted from natural products from the ground to these packaged products. And that's, you know, that's quite a complex relationship people have with food. Partly it's because of, you know, the expense. The raw foods and fresh foods, meat, vegetables, you know, they're quite expensive. And it's quite tricky if you're on a low budget to manage to fill enough into your basket that will get you through a week of not having hungry kids in the house and stuff like that. So that's hard. And the other thing is the convenience. You know, we are all very busy. We're all time poor. We're working very hard. And people need to be able to reach for something to feed them. So people are stressed, and we can't really shame people for, you know, needing the convenience. So what we need to try and do is we need to say, okay, we need to make our healthy food as convenient as the ultra high processed food that doesn't have the nutritious value of food. So we need to be giving people their fiber, giving people their vitamins in a convenient way, but in a way that is also then going to be healthy.
So what does that look like?
Well, there's a whole bunch of ways. So in UCD, we're leading a project called Healthy Oats, and its acronym is HOPE, which I like. And what we hope to do is we hope to take a local product with very low miles, so oats, and Irish heritage oats, which are specific to our country. And what we want to do is we want to grow them and grow them so that they're full of basic glucans, which are soluble fibers that are clinically proven to help your gut, and antioxidants that are proven to help absorb free radicals that cause cell damage and then cancer and other issues. So what we're doing is one of our partners is optimizing that growth process. And then what we're going to do with that is we're going to get in touch with the Irish consumers, and we're doing it at the moment. We have a survey out that we're contacting them to say, okay, guys, what is it you want by way of a healthy product? What would you eat? What wouldn't you eat? What's working and what doesn't work? And then what we're going to do is we're going to take these oats, we're going to produce products that are consumer-led, and then what we're going to do with that is we're going to make sure that those are formulated to have high-quality fiber, high bioactivity, which are gut flora, so it's going to be really cool. And then for certain criteria of the population, certain demographics, we're going to then further supplement the product so that, let's say, you're a young woman who has anemia, and there's a large number, about a third of young women are suffering from anemia because they're not getting enough iron. We might target a product to those people that is healthy, convenient, and will give them the supplementation that they need.
So is that, sorry to cut across you, Molly, but is that genetically modifying food?
No, 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 not at all.
Because I know in India, that is what they are doing, isn't it, with pearl millet, where they're increasing the iron content to try and address this so foods are convenient, available and healthy at the same time.
Yeah, well, we don't really have the genetic modification on board here in Europe, so we don't have the ability to do that. And there's nothing actually, in my opinion, wrong with doing that. I think it can be very valuable. But what we're actually doing is we're selecting through selecting the seeds and the varieties that grow best in Ireland for climate change already, and without interrupting their own genetics, because there's lots of worries about biodiversity and environmental issues that might or might not come with that. But what we're actually doing is we will fortify the actual product, not the grain, so that the grain is what the grain is, and the fortification comes later. But what we're going to do is a lot of products are fortified with vitamins and minerals and iron and things like that. But one of the things is that, you know, it's like the labeling says it has X amount of iron, but the bioavailability of the type that's added isn't always going to allow you to absorb that much iron. So what we want to do is to make sure that what's on the packet is what we can prove gets absorbed.
Okay, that makes sense. In the meantime, we're walking into the supermarkets with walls of energy drinks, walls of confectionery and sweets and crisps. And it's remarkable, really, when you see what our supermarket looks like compared to a supermarket in France or in Germany. They are different. They might be the same type of supermarket, but their product range is different in Ireland.
Absolutely. There's a much bigger focus on the whole foods in the European supermarkets. But what you have to just bear in mind is, you know, these companies are massive. They're engineering the food products. Their marketing is huge and the budgets are deep and they're really, really, really good at getting us to buy stuff. Even when you know the stuff is bad for you, you're reaching for it. That's how good they are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult to step back from that when you're in a population where you're constantly exposed on social media, on the radio, all, as you say, in the supermarket, all of that wonderful bright packaging. It's very, very hard for people to, you know, be able to. And then there is the cost factor. It is cheap for the most part.
Yeah, so there's a lot of pressure then on the consumer in this, in all of this.
There is at the moment, and it's kind of a case of buyer beware, and it's very tricky to manage it. I think this is a place for policy to step in a little bit. But, you know, when we're looking at how easy it is for government to step in and make decisions on a globalist level, you know, we don't get a whole lot of traction with it. There's a lot of pushback on that because there are jobs involved as well, which matter. So it's the relationships that make these decisions are quite complex and it makes it difficult to push out of it. But ultimately, trying to get good, healthy, local, sustainable food on our shelves, I think is the way we need to go. And one of the differences between Ireland and, let's say, France is look at the size of the horticulture and business. We produce very few homegrown vegetables and fruit that hit our market shelves. Most of the stuff coming in, not all, but most of it on the supermarkets are coming in from Europe and non-European countries. And I think for me, that's the sustainability issue we need to think about.
Yeah, and it's crazy that that is the case because we are so good at growing vegetables and it makes no sense that we bring in, you know, all of this food from Africa, from Mexico and other places halfway around the world. But that's the point that we have reached.
It is, and that's a situation that the IFA needs to have a think about, and maybe the government, again, with policy and changes, there's a whole lot of drive to get rid of cows, but the drive then is going to produce protein and fava beans and all the rest of that, which is also very good. But, you know, we need fruit and vegetables as well, and I think, for me, that's the takeaway. We need to make sure that we invest in our farmers, that supermarkets give farmers a fair deal, and that maybe we don't say no to foreign products, but we do a, you know, an Irish product incentivization would be very useful so that it's available to people very obviously, you know.
Well, that seems to make great sense, Amalia. Thank you so much for joining us today. And that was Dr. Amalia Scannell, microbiologist at the UCD Institute of Food and Health.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.